Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This fourth Sunday of Easter, I want to preach about the Good Shepherd. I want to preach about how the truth that we have a Good Shepherd is life-changing everything. But first, a little history, specifically the church then and the church now. If we were to ask an early Christian, a Christian of the first two centuries of the church, what is the church's most important religious observance? They would not hesitate to say Easter. In fact, for a considerable period of time, it could be said that, in a sense, Easter was celebrated every Sunday. It was the center of absolutely everything, theologically and spiritually, from holy baptism to holy communion. Gradually, though, toward the end of the second century, efforts were made to celebrate one particular day for Easter that would accord with the Jewish lunar calendar by which Passover is observed. As we recall, the days surrounding the Passover feast were the occasion of Jesus being in Jerusalem when he was arrested and crucified and rose again. But even when Easter became a specific day, the celebration and proclamation of the resurrection was clearly the core, the center of the entire worship life of the church. There is no question that the intent of our prayer book is for us to continue this understanding of what is of first importance. Hopefully we do. For Jesus' saving death and resurrection is the beating heart of our faith, the hope and promise undergirding our whole Christian life. You know, from time to time, you'll see those men and women on the street interviews. You might recall how they would ask them, for example, who the vice president is or who's Christopher Columbus, and the responses would be quite alarming. Yet, if we were to ask a similar question, stopping folks on the street, what the most important religious celebration of the church year is, not a small number would certainly say Christmas. It is understandable. Christmas has been assimilated into the culture pretty thoroughly because of its commercial possibilities. And of course, newborn babies and shiny wrapped presents have an appeal that crucified men do not. Easter is messy. Easter takes faith in a whole new possibility. Given the felt difference then between these two, Christmas and Easter, I would think that Christmas would have had a powerful calling for the early church as well. But not so. In fact, I was surprised to find that when Christmas began to be observed religiously, it was not without controversy. One of the early church fathers had a particular concern. A scholarly article says, "For the first three centuries of Christianity, Christmas wasn't in December or on the calendar anywhere. If observed at all, the celebration of Christ's birth was usually lumped in with Epiphany, January 6th, one of the church's earliest feasts. Some church leaders even opposed the idea of birth celebration. Origen, lived between 185 and 254, preached that it would be wrong to honor Christ in the same way Pharaoh and Herod were honored. Birthdays were for pagan gods. There was emperor worship and leader worship that went on, and usually that was tied to a birthday. Fortunately for us, this negative view about Christmas didn't hold sway. Ultimately, the celebration of Christmas would become especially important for the church. But for another reason altogether, because it was central to the story of Jesus' incarnation, that is, the Word made flesh and dwelling among us, how Christ's divinity and humanity could be especially honored by the whole Nativity narrative, that is, from the Annunciation to Mary through the birth at Bethlehem. And please don't let me be misunderstood here. The Incarnation was hardly some new idea, but rather the value of Christmas and observing it became clearer to the Church over time, especially the great dignity given humankind, that God would take our very flesh and indeed bring into the Godhead by Jesus' resurrection and ascension our very flesh. In the words of a glorious ascension hymn in our hymnal, "Thou hast raised our human nature on the clouds to God's right hand. There we sit in heavenly places, there with thee in glory stand. Jesus reigns, adored by angels, man with God is on the throne. Mighty Lord, in thine ascension, we by faith behold our own." So where is the preacher going with all this? Well, today we have a baptism. Baptisms are about Easter first and foremost. In fact, Easter Vigil was the time for baptisms in the early church, because baptism is about entering the Paschal mystery. That is, being united to Christ, saving death and resurrection with all of its benefits, the forgiveness of sins and the entering new life unto eternal life, our reconciliation with God, but also our very flesh sanctified for glory. Put another way, Easter is also Christmas for us, and the gift is wrapped in the waters of baptism. We put on Christ as he put on us. Easter is our Christmas gift born of the Incarnation. We get our gift right there. So let me get now to the Good Shepherd. In a few moments, I will ask Sharon and Tom, godparents as well, and parents as well, at the baptismal font to name this child. I'll say, "Name this child." And they will say, "Cadence Amelia." And from that point forward, the Good Shepherd comes into play. Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." And then Jesus says this about the Good Shepherd. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his sheep, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. So first and foremost, Cadence, he knows your name. That means you quite particularly, and this applies to all of us here, have a good shepherd. And today you will become one of his sheep. And here is what he promises you. Born of his laying down his life for you, and rising again, and ascending in your very flesh to the Father. He promises this: "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them from my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch them from my Father's hand. The Father and I are one." Our Christian vocation is very nicely laid out right there. We are to listen to his voice, and we are to stay in the flock. He doesn't have to go running after us if we stay in the flock. But if we do wander, he's coming. He promises. That is what we mean in the baptismal service, when we make the sign of the cross upon her head and say, "Cadence Amelia, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever." Marked as Christ's own forever. And this day, this most holy day, you are going to get the best gift you will ever get. And we will pray every goodness for you. We will rejoice for you. And we'll look forward. forward to your gifts for the mission of the church. And most of all, Easter Child, who proclaim as one flock about you. Cadence Amelia, we receive you into the household of God, confess the faith of Christ crucified, proclaim his resurrection, and share with us in his eternal priesthood. Amen.